Right. Good morning, church. It is so good to see you this morning. As was mentioned, yes, we got in very late last night, but we are excited and energized by being here with you this morning. And so we're just thankful that you've allowed me to have this opportunity to speak to you this morning. Of all the mornings to come and visit and to speak on Mother's Day, you know, there's people that said you should be home celebrating moms at home, and we are traveling. And so it's kind of an unusual situation, but we're thankful to be here. We actually spent some time with Jana's family yesterday during the day before we headed this direction. And so we did do a little bit of Mother's Day celebration. And we'll do our own here in Tulsa. It'll be fun. We're looking forward to that. Well, this morning, I just want to wish moms a happy Mother's Day. It is such a wonderful holiday that we've been given this opportunity to celebrate our moms. And it's important for us as the church to take the time to celebrate our moms. As was mentioned this morning in our call to worship, in our morning prayer, you know, moms are important, and to celebrate families is something rare now in our society and the way things are going. And so we want to make sure that we take the opportunity to celebrate our moms, and then again in June to celebrate our dads. Parents are important, and each has their own role, and that is important as well. Well, this morning, I thought as we begin our lesson this morning, I would start off by giving some wisdom from kids about their moms. These are answers that were given by some elementary school-age children to the following questions. And you can follow along on the screen. If you're at home, you can listen. We don't have access to the screen for those that are watching online. But the first question is, why did God make mothers? Well, one child said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. And another child said, mostly to clean the house. I hope that's not entirely true. How did God make mothers? Well, one child said, he used dirt, just like for the rest of us. Another child said, magic. Plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Got to stir that up. And then another child said, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. And then another question that was asked is, what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Another child said they had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. Well, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related. And God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. That must have been a bad child. I don't know. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom, and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. I don't know. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Oh, you know it's coming. His last name? Okay. And does he make at least $800 a year? And did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Those are important things, ladies, so remember that. Why did your mom marry your dad? Well, my dad makes the best spaghetti in the world. She got too old to do anything else with him. My grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Oh, boy. That's a fun house, I'm sure. Who's the boss at your house? Mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because dad is such a goofball. I think that resembles my house. Mom, you can tell by room inspections. She sees the stuff that's under the bed. And then what's the difference between moms and dads? Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power, because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. And thirdly, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. Certainly true for my mom. What does your mom do in her spare time? Ladies, moms don't do spare time. Am I right? Yeah. This child has it together, whoever said that. To hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. Last question. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. And I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on her back. We can all relate, right? Well, this morning, we're going to actually talk about a mom in the Bible here, in Luke chapter 7. If you'd want to follow along, turn over to Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 11 this morning. We're going to read about a mom in the Bible who actually was undergoing some difficult times. And we're going to learn some lessons from this mother and how this applies to us this morning. So let's read this together. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Here we have a story of a mom who we can see that cares about her family, but is in a circumstance that's beyond her control. In this widow of Nain, we see these characteristics of our own mothers. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to spend some time talking about three particular characteristics of godly mothers and how they reflect the image of Christ. And so let's look at some of these characteristics together. The first one is that mothers sacrifice for their children. You see, this woman of Nain, she is mourning the loss of her only son. And to make matters more complicated, she's a widow. Her husband has also died. And so visualize this. She has a small family, a husband and a son. And now both have passed on. Who will she now turn to? In this culture, in order to help them to live, a widow would rely on her children to help take care of her. After losing her husband, her son would have stepped up and helped her. But now she no longer has him as well. And now there's this crowd of people from the town, and they're gathering around. The crowd of mourners were in a funeral procession headed to the cemetery to bury this young man. It was a custom in this day and time for the people of the city to come and join in and mourn with the widow. This mother would have been at the front of the line, and those who carried the coffin would be behind her. The coffin would have been open as they make their way through the town, and behind would be the mourners. This crowd, they would have included family and friends of the deceased, but it was also common to have paid mourners at the funeral. And so then at the rear of this procession would have been the people of the city, followed as a sign of respect for the dead. This woman loved her family very much. She would have given all she had to honor the memory of her son. How many of us know that our moms would give their time to help raise a family, who give their time for school meetings and sports games, other extracurricular activities, so that their children can try new things, gain new experiences, to enjoy the time of this life? How many moms give time and energy towards the church to minister to other people, to minister to other women? How many give time and energy to love and take care of their husbands and their families, who sacrifice their spare time, as the child in the funny story that we talked about earlier? We want to honor our moms for all that they do for us in their sacrifice. The second thing that we can learn, the second characteristic that we learn about godly mothers, is that mothers protect their children. We aren't told how her son died. We don't know how old she was. We don't know how old he was. He could have been an older man who simply died of an old age, whereas she lived longer than he did. He could have been reckless, a young man who did things that maybe scared his mom to death, but he was the one who actually died, doing something he shouldn't have. Maybe it was just an illness, a young man who suffered from an illness and took his body captive. What we do know, though, is that this mother, this woman of Nain, cared about him and cared for him. She had a funeral procession in his honor, even though she probably had very little to live on. She paid for this funeral procession. And we don't know if she knew Jesus before this time. We don't know if she had heard him preach before this. But to have a stranger come up and to engage in her life was not a normal thing. She heard his words, "Don't cry." How unusual to say that to a woman who had lost everyone close to her. But she didn't back away from him. Did she sense that this Jesus was there to give her something special that day? Did she know what he could do? These coffin bearers stood still. Did they think that this woman was going to jump up and stop Jesus from what he was going to do? Or do we know that our moms would do that for us? We know how our moms care for and protect us. We know how they will step in and in front of us when we're in danger. When I would ride in the car growing up, this is before seatbelt laws, my mom would become the human seatbelt. I don't know if you've experienced this or not. It's kind of funny because it was her driving, and she's the one who wasn't driving very well. But she would have to stop all of a sudden. Of course, we weren't wearing seatbelts. Sometimes we were. But it was instinct for her to throw that arm across us when she stopped. And she became that human airbag, that human seatbelt for us. I would just say, just drive better, Mom. But we gave her a hard time about that. So my mom would also let me learn from my mistakes. She was not always there to throw her arm across me. I've made many mistakes, but she was there to comfort me. She was there for me. She let me become a grown adult man. I think back to my time in college, and there was a particular time when the school called home. I guess they did this for every student. I went to a small college in Portland, and they would call just to tell the parents what our grades were. And my mom said, "Why are you calling me?" He's an adult now. You talk to him about his grades. It's not like they were bad. They just did that for everybody, to tell the grades and tell how much money we owed the school and things like that. But my mom would say, "He's an adult man now. Go talk to him." So she cared about me from a young boy to protect me, but she also protected me so that I could grow up and become a man. The third thing, the third characteristic of godly mothers is that mothers guide their children. These people witnessed a miracle. This dead man is raised to life. He begins to speak. Don't you wonder the kinds of things that he started to say? Was it that he was continuing to say the things that he was saying before he passed? Or maybe he was proclaiming the things that he had saw when he had died. Did he continue to say these things? And maybe he saw things about God that he wanted to proclaim. Maybe Jesus, as he heals this man, shows him some things. We don't know. But this scared these people greatly. But they glorified God in that moment. I want to say that this woman took this second chance. Her now alive son is with her again. Don't you believe that she spoke of Jesus at every opportunity that she had from this moment on? She proclaims, God has visited his people. This story, this miracle had spread throughout the whole area, throughout all of Judea, even to the surrounding country. Everyone heard of this miracle, and Jesus was proclaimed because of this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes to Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. Moms share their faith with their children because they want us to follow Christ and his good news. It is seen in this woman of name. Paul proclaims it in Timothy. He sees the faith of this man's matriarch in his family, his mother and his grandmother and their faith, and now he sees it in Timothy. Maybe you're thinking about your own life. How do you show and witness the faith of your mother, your grandmother? I think about my mom, and this is my mother with Madeline when she was like, I don't know, 3, 4, somewhere in there. Young Madeline. She's so cute. My mom passed away 8 years ago. It'll be 9 years this June. And she cared for me and raised me. And my sister and my brother, she raised all three of us children to love the Lord. And that's been my goal through my life, is to live a life that would honor my mom. I remember the time that I had at the end of her life when she kind of pulled me aside. She was in her hospital bed, and I was standing there. But she said, I know the man that you've grown to be, and I want you to continue to live this life. I want you to continue to raise your children to love Jesus. And that's been my purpose and my goal as a man. And I remember that about my mother, and of course her bad driving. But, you know, nobody's perfect. But my mother loved me very much. She loved my children very much. And we loved her very much. What do we do with this? Well, what we're always called to do. We're called to go and to do likewise. Moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, friends, godparents, cousins, neighbors, co-workers. We are called to share the wisdom that we've received from our mothers. And we honor them today because of how they transform our lives. Let's pray now for our moms. We're going to say a prayer together, and then we'll conclude our lesson this morning. Father, we thank you so much for our mothers. They spend so much time raising us and teaching us the things that we need to learn. It's not always an easy and thankful job. They oftentimes get frustrated. And we make mistakes as children, but they love us anyway. And they raise us up, and they teach us the things we need in order to become good adults and to do the same for our children. Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for our Mother's Day. And God, I pray that they are honored today and throughout the year. In Jesus' name, amen. So much talk in our world right now about life, about Roe v. Wade, about our children. And we are called to love children no matter what stage of life they're in. And it is our call to do that. Jesus' call is for us to share the gospel. His sacrifice can be said to be reflected in our moms. He loves us. He protects us. He wants to guide us as well. Jesus embodies what it means for our moms. And I would pray that we would live in a way that honors Jesus, but that also honors our mothers. If you have a need this morning, we want to help you with that need. Whether it be prayer, let us pray with you. We want to lift you up and help you through anything you might be dealing with. If there's a need for you to be baptized this morning, we can do that as well. But what we want to do now is give you an opportunity to respond to that. So if you have a need, you can come forward, talk to me. I'm sure one of our elders would be happy to speak with you or pray with you. If you don't do it now, it's never too late. We're always happy to pray with you, always happy to give you that love. And we want to honor you this morning. So let's stand together. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and then we'll be led in another song.